for a while. I want you to give me a real good hearing on that, those four words from Isaiah 44, verse 20. He feedeth on ashes. I could take Proverbs 15, 14. The mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Or I could take Hosea 12, 1. Ephraim feedeth on the wind. But I want to take this morning those four words. He feedeth on ashes. And this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, you're not living for God, you're feeding on ashes. It's not real. Or if you have some other religion outside the truth of this whole book, you're feeding on ashes. So I want you to listen carefully as I take these four words and talk to you for a while about them. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for this a great feast spread in the text verse. A great feast is spread. Platters are filled with the best from the culinary artists. Chalices are filled with the best from the wine vats. Fruit, are you listening? Are you listening? Fruit overflows lovely containers. The room is ornamented with the kingdom's most beautiful tapestry. Garlands wreath the walls in this feast. The most exquisite silver is a footstool for the loveliest of crystal, which fellowships with the finest of china. The guest sits down with hilarious anticipation as he begins to feast at this beautifully ornamented table, an exquisitely prepared dinner. He touches the fruit, and suddenly it turns to dust. The aged wine suddenly becomes gall. The fork holds the entree as it becomes a heap of ashes, and the garland wreath disintegrates. Every time that the hungry man reaches out to take a portion of food, it turns to ashes. And the prophet says to a foolish nation, he says, he feedeth on ashes. No place in literature better describes the hypocrisy of the world than our text. He feedeth on ashes. If you feed in the disco parlors of this world, you feed on ashes. If you feed in the amusement centers of this cosmos, you feed on ashes. If you feed from books that do not concur with the book of books, then you feed on ashes. If you walk a path foreign to God's chosen will and chosen path for your life, then you feed on ashes. If you speak that which is unholy, and if you hear that which is unrighteous, and if you walk paths that are ungodly, and if you seek joy from a synthetic joy the world has to offer, you feed on ashes. It's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Thank God the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. And the prophet says to a heathen nation, languishing in their sin, walking their own path, saying their own words, singing their own songs, doing their own thing, he says it's like sitting down at a feast with the best of food, the best of china, and the best of crystal, and the best of tapestry, and the best of linen tablecloth, and the best of furnishings, and the best of draperies on the walls and windows, and you reach out to take a bite, and it turns to ashes, and another bite, and it turns to ashes, and the salad turns to ashes, and the fruit turns to ashes, and the vegetables turn to ashes, and the entree turns to ashes, and the dessert turns to ashes, and the hors d'oeuvres turn to ashes. And what he's saying is this. He's saying anything outside this book, anything outside the will of God for your life, and performing that thing for which God made you, eventually will turn to ashes. Hear me, young people. Hear me, rock music crowd. You're going to turn to ashes one of these days. What you are seeking for your enjoyment, if it's not inside the coziness of the will of God for your life, eventually it will turn to ashes. Now, in no way can we offer you as lovely a table as the world can offer. In no way can we compare to the china that the table sits on linen that is lovelier than we can offer. In no way can we compare in our crystal or silver. In no way can we compare. We cannot compare with what the world has for, except there's one place we can compare, and that is the food. The food. The table is not as lovely. The decor is not as elegant. We cannot match the decor of Hollywood. I was driving this week down a pass through Hollywood, California, on a freeway, and I saw just a touch of all the facade of Hollywood and all of the veneer of the Hollywood has to offer. We can't compare to that. We can't build buildings like they build. We cannot have lights like they offer. We cannot offer well-trained musicians such as they have. I was not long ago. I was in Las Vegas, and didn't make much, just enough to build a building or two. And when I saw that, but oh my soul! I went to that what's that hotel that burned in Las Vegas? MGM, yeah. I was in Reno, too, and I went to that big MGM, I guess the world's largest hotel, and I know it's the world's largest casino. And my, how elegant and how beautiful. And we can't compare to that. This building cannot compare to the MGM casino. We have nothing that can match what they have to offer. We cannot match the platters of Palm Springs or the chalices of Lake Tahoe or the china of Broadway or the crystal of Miami Beach. Nor the garlands of Atlantic City, nor the linen of Reno, nor the dining room of elegance of Times Square. Yes, the world has more offer in the way of atmosphere and decor and attire. Our menu is sort of dull looking. Our building is modest looking. Our waiters are simply adorned, and our decor is plain and simple. But there's one thing we can't offer you. We can offer you something that satisfies. They have the plates and not the food. We have the food, not the plate. They have the elegance without the substance, and we have the substance without the elegance. But I don't care who you are. God has set something inside your breast. The Bible calls it eternity. And you're not going to fill that void that was left when you wronged God and left God. You're not going to fill that with anything apart from that which is eternal. And we have the goods. All we can offer you is good food. Happiness, contentment, peace, and joy, and satisfaction. Go down Calumet Avenue this afternoon and pass by that so-called adult movie house, that snake pit of lust, and roll down your window and cry out, ashes! Ashes! It made glitter on the outside, but when you reach out to taste it, ashes! Go down State Street here, this adult bookstore, and this incense of iniquity, and holler, and roll down your window and holler, ashes! Ashes! Go to the heathen college, these dens of doubt that dot our country, and holler, ashes! Go to the nightclubs, these dungeons of death, and the Playboy Club, this pit of passion, and holler, ashes! Ashes! Make fun of us if you want to, and make light of us if you want to. But when the meal begins, you've got to come to us to get something that's real. They have nothing to offer that lasts. Look at the food. It's lovely. But you touch it, it turns to ashes. Look at their entree. It looks delicious. But you touch it, it turns to ashes.
Yesterday morning, I got up at 4:45 in Pennsylvania. I bathed and you say amen because I said I bathed and because I woke up in Pennsylvania. And as the scripture says, go thou and do likewise. But I got up and I bathed and I dressed and then packed and got ready. It took about an hour, I guess. And then I opened the drape and so I could look out and see what kind of day it was. And I noticed three fire trucks out there.
and three ambulances and a great crowd of people having a big time. And then it dawned on me, though, my hotel was on fire. Nobody called me. I guess they just called the ones that wanted to get out before the fire. And nobody called me. There I was taking a bath. Right above me, a fellow was breaking out his plate glass window and jumping out of the window for safety. And starting about 4 o'clock, fire started. And all the time I was bathing and dressing, the folks were running for freedom for their lives. And there I was taking a bath and leisurely getting ready to go to the airport. And finally I walked out in the back, and you never saw so much excitement in your life. I mean, boy, nothing like a fire. Folks were having a big time. It was a small town, probably the biggest thing happened in that town for a long time. And no talking, please. And they were all excited, laughing, cutting up. And it was exciting, and a crowd came. It was spectacular.
And then I noticed something at the end. Crowd dispersed, and they took 2 people to the hospital to try to save their lives. And then they pulled out the ashes. Nothing but ashes. Crowd gone. Now nothing but ashes. That's what's going to happen to you folks that don't live in God's will.
A lot of fun for a while. Ah, a lot of big crowds for a while. And excitement for a while. And bright light for a while.
But after it's all over, one of these days, ashes. I counsel with people with the hundreds. Young people come to me, and they say, Brother Hiles, I didn't listen to what you preached. I got some letters this week from the sailors. And they wrote me, and they said, Brother Hiles, thank you for a home away from home. Thank you that you warned us. I got a letter from one sailor this last week, and he said, Brother Hiles, I came to your church, and I felt so much at home, and I loved it, and I want to thank you. But he said, I got on board ship, and he said, I didn't have a church, didn't have you to preach to me. And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I fell into sin. I did some things I shouldn't have done. I brought reproach to the Savior's name. And he said, Brother Hiles, I asked God to forgive me. But he said, Brother Hiles, he said, tell the sailors that the world doesn't bring you joy. He said, tell the sailors to listen to you and do what you say and practice what you preach. And so I tell you this morning, fellas, there's a big old world out there that has a mighty pretty building. But ashes. At the end, there's a world out there that has a mighty beautiful table, but you feed on ashes.
There's a world out there that has a mighty pretty the decor and beautiful chandeliers and beautiful tapestry and beautiful drapery, but it all turns to ashes after a while. It turns to ashes. And so Isaiah said, he feedeth on ashes. He who lives outside the will of God feedeth on ashes. He who lives in the heathen world feedeth on ashes. He who lives with the rock music crowd feedeth on ashes. He who lives with the Hollywood crowd feedeth on ashes. He who lives for money feedeth on ashes. He who lives for popularity feedeth on ashes.
But he that lives for the will of God and the purpose of God for his life feeds on something that's eternal, feeds on something that offers substance and offers satisfaction and offers joy and offers peace.
There's a beautiful table spread before Solomon. Beautiful table, wine, women, song, music, laughter. A beautiful table.
Ah, but in the end, it was ashes when Solomon said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And Solomon takes up his pen and writes to his own son and says, son, he said, I tried popularity, but it was feeding on ashes. And I tried
worldly women. And that's feeding on ashes. And I tried to get rich, and that's feeding on ashes.
And I tried to go the way that I wanted to go, and that's feeding on ashes. He says, son, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw nigh, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh, let me tell you something, dear friends. I've seen so much of it. I want to get out on the street corner and wave my hand and say, don't look. I want to get out in front of the big old bright lights in Las Vegas and say, folks, it's not true. The ashes in there. I know the lights are beautiful. I know that the clothing and the apparel is lovely. I know that the music is beautiful. I know it. But there's a reality about this. It's not a very pretty book. I don't see any pictures on the cover.
I don't see any pictures on the inside. How blessed it's been through these years.
Last thing I do before I go to bed in an hotel room at night is take it and hug it to the chest and read from it. First thing I do in the morning is try to find it. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. I want to grab our young people and say, folks, listen to me. I want to get on my knees and say, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm telling you the truth, kids. I'm not trying to keep you from having fun. I'm telling you the truth. The heathen world, Hollywood crowd, bright lights, it's ashes. Ashes.
I know. This building here can't compare to others. Somebody drove by one day and said, looks like a penitentiary. Somebody else drove by and said, what factory is that? I know it. We don't have all the lights. We can't afford to pay the light bill we have. We don't have all the bright lights. Oh, but the joy we've known here through these years. We've stood here and buried our dead and married our young and studied this book and preached it through these years. There's a peace in my soul that the world cannot give and the world it cannot take away. It may not be as pretty as the club you belong to. It may not be as pretty as the magazine you subscribe to. But let me tell you something. That lady is right. There's something real in this building here. There's something real about this book. Oh, when I look at you, young people, you sailors back here, and think, what kind of devil wants you? He wants to take your life and wreck it and ruin it and send your soul to hell and condemn your life to destruction and take the brush out of your cheek and the spring out of your step and the joy out of your future. He's a liar. He's a thief. He offers nothing on the last day but ashes. That's all he has to offer. That's all he has to offer. They laugh at Hiles Anderson College and Tennessee Temple and Bob Jones and others. We found what this old sin curse world was looking for. And I had to get out of the car at the house late at night. The security guard was there with me. My car came around the corner there. We live on the corner. Car came right around the corner, burning up rubber. A few dirty words came out that I could not repeat. I don't even like to hear about me. And then a few dirty four-letter words about the Baptist. They don't mean that. They want what we have. And they know we have it. It hurts them because we found it. We can't afford a new carpet like we need. There's something real about this place. We can't afford Michelangelo's last judgment on the ceiling and walls of our building. But there's something real about this place. It's a beautiful table that was spread for David. And Bathsheba split and bathed. And David saw her and wanted her and stole her and killed Uriah. It's a beautiful table. But ask David when he was running up the stairs saying, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh, Absalom, my son. What was on the table, David? Ashes! Ashes. A beautiful table spread for Voltaire until he came to the eating of it. And as he died, he said, this globe seems to me more like a collection of carcasses than of men. I wish I'd never been born. Walk through the graveyard of those who tried to find peace and joy in this world. The Henrys and the Catherines and the Georges and the Marys, the Marilyn Monroes and the Elvis Presleys, and ask them to describe the venue of the world's menu. And they'll rise up with eyeless sockets and trembling skeletons and stagger to a microphone and whisper, ashes, ashes, ashes. It's all ashes.
criticize that simple cup from which we drink until you taste its wine, ladies and gentlemen. Don't underestimate that simple loaf till you taste its bread. Don't laugh at the pauper's bowl till you taste its fruit. I know what I'm talking about. When I was a boy, a little boy, my mother used to say to me, son, we're going to go to church. And we did every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I've never told this to you. I don't think and my mother's not here this morning. And is she here? She's not here. And I probably would not tell this if she were here. But I wish I could forget the days that my dad came and said, son, come with me. My daddy, on Saturday night, would take me to a beautiful place. Scantily clad females. Beautiful music. Enticing lights. He'd say, son, how do you like it? And the next morning, mother would take me to the Fernwood Baptist Church. Or maybe to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And a few little people would gather in a simple building. And an humble preacher that didn't know much about grammar, but he knew an awful lot about Jesus. He didn't know much about human psychology, but he knew and loved the book. He'd stand up and he'd preach to us a while. And I'd go home and I'd sit for the hour and I'd compare Daddy's life to Mother's. Then Daddy would take me the next week to some place and he'd say, son, how do you like it? Well, it was so beautiful. I couldn't tell you how pretty. Most beautiful draperies and curtains. Lovely lights shining and flashing. Scantily clad and attractive females serving. And my daddy would say, son, how do you like it? You're trying to get me to go his way. And then the next Sunday, Mama would take me to church. And a little old lady here with white hair named Hazelwood. Fat. Her hair tied in a knot in the back. And ugly as all get out. She'd stand up and she'd say, boys, girls, I'm not going to let the devil have you. I'm not going to let the devil have you. And I'd look at the room. Light bulb wouldn't work. Curtain wouldn't pull down. Window shade lost the string on it. Simple little ghetto area church. And I'd remember that the walls of the building where Daddy took me. And I'd recall the lights and the way folks were dressed. And then a fellow would get up and he would sing, oh, they tell me of a land far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. And old Sister Johnson would start shouting. Oh, she'd shout, ugly as could be and fatter than she was ugly. And she starts shouting. And I'd compare it to the place last night where Daddy took me. I didn't know why Mama Nelson prayed so much and prayed I wouldn't go Daddy's way. I didn't understand why Mama would go out in the car and take some whiskey out of the back and break it on a rock. I never knew why Mother took whiskey ads and held it up before me and said, son, whiskey bad. No, no. I didn't understand it then. I've seen both ways. I had a daddy try to take me that way. But Mama had something real, and I knew it. Mama had peace, and I knew it. Mama never cursed. Daddy did. Mama never had nervous breakdowns. Daddy got all upset. Mama never took a board and beat me. Daddy did. Mama had something real. I cannot compare today to what's out yonder. I can't compare. We can't afford what they have. I'll guarantee you one thing. There's not an ash in this book. And there's not an ash in one thing preached from this pulpit. Not one. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real.
I've been your preacher for almost 22 years. I've got enough tears to make a river. I've wept when you've done wrong and rejoiced when you've done right. I've wept for sorrow when you've gone bad and wept for joy when you do right. What I've preached across this pulpit through these years is real. I promise you it's real. And I'll guarantee you, if you will take this old book and make it your portion, if you will take Jesus and love Him and tell Him you do and walk with Him, and if you will walk daily in the will of God, the plan, will of God for your life, I guarantee you, I won't let you have as exciting a time as you'd have if you don't listen to me. And you won't have as thrilling a time. We won't have as lovely a building, as lovely a decor. I'll guarantee you this, you will find something that in the end has substance to it. It won't turn to ashes when you reach out to touch it. They're colonizing the paratroopers. I would have joined the Navy, but I want to be in the armed forces. Fellas, they laughed at me when they went out on the Saturday night, or Friday night weekend pass. They laughed at me when they passed the liquor around. I wouldn't take it. They laughed at me when they have a bunch of beautiful girls come to the barracks or to the day room, and they'd go down the day room and that they got one for you, Jack. They'd laugh at me when I'd say no. They'd make fun of me. And I was set many a time on a footlocker. I laid down for a weekend on a bunk by myself in a barracks. And I've cried myself to sleep many a Friday and Saturday night because I wanted to have some fun. And I just about get the place where I'd say it's not worth it. And then it'd be for Sunday night late and start coming in one at a time. I can recall I'd be asleep at night. And I'd hear somebody say, Jack, hey, Jack, hey, Jack. You won't believe what they call me. They call me Slim in those days. I was real skinny. They call me Slim. They don't call me that anymore. But they call me Slim in those days. They say, hey, Slim. Hey, Jack. Hey, Slim. And I'd shake myself and wake up, and a big old good-looking guy would say, hey, Jack, I won't talk to you. He said, I'm miserable. He said, I laughed at you on Friday night, but he said, I admired you. Night after night, in the middle of the night, they'd wake up, and they'd say, Jack, help us. We need somebody to talk to us. Jack, I got better from home. My wife's left me. Everything's going to pot. I've got a terrible disease, Jack. Would you talk to me? And I'd sit up for an hour or two and talk in a dark barrack with some guy that laughed at me on Friday. I'd go back to bed and say, thank God, what I've got's real. What I've got's real. It's a big old world out there, but it's full of ashes. Full of ashes. The table is spread. The foolish man sits down at the table. The finest of furnishings. The loveliest of linen tablecloths. The most beautiful china. Silver bowls. And silver serving sets. And the most delicate crystal. And the most ornamental silver. And beautiful china. Royal chandeliers hang from a royal ceiling. The plushiest of carpet is beneath the feet. The loveliest, most beautiful food made by the best culinary artist of the day is there. And a fellow reaches out to take the fruit, turns to ashes. Reaches out to take the entree, turns to ashes. Drinks from the chalice the wine that turns to gall. I guess what I'm saying is this. The worst day you'll ever spend as a Christian is the first one. And the best day you'll ever spend in the world is the first one. I guess really what I'm saying is
what we used to sing in Mrs. Hazelwood's class when I was a little boy. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I know it now. I didn't know it then. I know it now. I know it. Believe me. It's real. The book is real. Christ is real. Salvation is real. The will of God is real. The joy. We used to sing, I've got a joy, 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 and a peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. And that's what it is.
Our table cannot compare. Our food is not as pretty. Our decor is not as elegant. But the food
is real and lasting and enduring for life eternal. Father,